Sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's reading analysis of Guy Turns Into Bug and Gets Stuck in His Room. Starting us off, we're going to have Marcus give us a quick summary of Metamorphosis. And Marcus, what do you think about the Kafka-esque nature of...
Well, like, no shit, it's Kafka-esque. If it wasn't, like... What the fuck would be, right?
Well, you say that, but I mean, is it? Is it?
I mean, by definition, like, yes, it has to be Kafka-esque.
Jamie, do you want to give a dissenting opinion here?
I'll let this one slide.
All right.
You are too generous.
Well, so I do want to talk about that later, the term yeah. Kafka-esque, because after we've discussed the book, obviously, but it'd be interesting to delve into, like, what that actually means.
I mean, I still don't know.
I read this book, and I'm like, I think, like, we can talk about that later, but yeah, continue on.
Like, people just use it if someone turns into something, and that's literally it.
It could be like if something reminds you of the book, you know, if you're feeling like Gregor, then you're like, oh, this is so Kafka-esque.
So like when Max is at work feeling all bummed out.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking at his
Max,
feet.
But sad Max. All right, so...
Does someone other than me want to do a summary? Just because I feel like I got summaried out almost on Beowulf.
Fair point.
I could
try like six times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess the book starts out with him waking up when it was like, he wakes up as a bug, right? And he's kind of like, oh, I'm a bug. This is kind of weird. And he talks about kind of like his work and how busy he is. And he's a traveling salesman who goes places all the time, doesn't know many people, kind of no real relationships with people and stuff like that. And then, he wakes up as a bug, thinks it's weird, then he just kind of tries to sleep it off. Then he wakes up and he's, like, late for work, so he's all stressed out about that. And then,
Let me stop you there, because I think it was, when I was reading that, we all read this in high school probably at some point or another. Mm-hmm. When high school when I read that, I'd be like, oh, that's so weird, like, why would he, like, try to sleep it off? He's a bug, you know, it's crazy. But, like, I read it this time, I'm like, that's probably what I do. Like,
yeah.
I guess I'm a bug now, well, like, let's just see if this thing, like, works itself
out. Yeah, yeah, let's see if my mind can stop being ridiculous.
There's something deeper to the fact that he never really stresses out about the fact that he's a bug to the extent that you would expect him to.
That's the thing, he does kind of just take it, right? He doesn't really care, you know. He's just
kind of like, all right, this is the way it is now.
He rather than trying to be a bug, he's trying to figure out how to be the best bug.
Yeah,
you know, like, you know, his problem is that his clothes don't fit when he's a bug.
I thought it was really interesting that, like, it's like, at least the beginning part of the book, it's like eerily similar to like kind of normal, like, quote unquote, like social culture kind of thing. Like, you know, the classic, like, people post all the time, like, oh, like, I could sleep for like 3 days, or it'll be some meme where it's like the world's falling apart and I could still be asleep, you know, like really normie things. And that's like exactly like what he is, you know. And it like really hit me, because it's like, you know, he literally is like a pinup in his room, and he like wakes up in his bug and his first thing's like, is like, FML, I'm just gonna go back to sleep. Like, oh, now I mean, that's Kafka.
I mean, he's a total wage slave too.
Yeah, he is. And like, I think that is something, is that, like, you know, the entire time, from the beginning till like almost like the end, he's kind of like, oh no, my job is ruined, you know, or like oh my, like, I feel good about my relations with my family because I got them a lot of money, you know? He's never, like, thinking outside of any of it. It's rough.
And, like, jumping a little far ahead here, I don't know if I should do that. But
I mean, it's fine. I think
it's short enough.
I really don't need to do a summary.
Just to say, like, you know, you got this whole thing where he's like a wage slave and he's, you know, given up his entire existence to the point where he turns into a bug just trying to, like, take care of his family. And then by the end, you find out that they don't even need him. Like, he actually, like, they're better off without him.
Yeah, right. It was kind of like
all his struggles were pointless.
Yeah, and it's like, it's kind of like he was making them live a different life than they could have. And, you know, and then at the end, they're all complaining about that, too, where they're like, oh, yeah, like, he got way too big a house. Like, who cares? You know, that was stupid. You know, it's like, oh, man.
Well, and the fact that they're happy at the end, like, the fact that they're, like, you know, actually happy, and it's like they're kind of, like, in a way set free at the end. It's like, I know it's a couple times as a joke, but that's coffee.
Yeah. And they're not just like happy that they don't have to take care of the bug anymore. They're happier than they were before he turned into a bug.
And it's a lot of stuff.
Let's not get into the end in too much.
Sorry. More. I just wanted to talk about that with the wage slave stuff.
I like how, like, especially like towards the beginning of the book when he's just like talking about, oh, it looks like I missed my train. I guess I'll go back to sleep. It's like, what? And he's like putting his alarm. He's like, oh shit. And then like you see how like time is passing by, which is very like, I don't know. I found that similar like on the weekend. Like I'll like wake up like, oh, it's a Saturday. I'm going to do a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'll just go to sleep. And then like I'll wake up and be like 2 hours later. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Well, yeah, I guess the passage of time is kind of interesting because that's something it like accelerates really quickly in the book kind of thing where it's like the
jumps
first day you go through like every minute kind of thing and then later it's like, oh, 2 weeks later, you know, and then it's like a whole month later
and then it's like seasons. You're like, holy fuck.
Yeah, it kind of just like skips around super quickly and it's like, you know, he does nothing, you know, literally like all the time.
Yeah, under the couch.
Yeah.
Him waking up reminded me of one of those dreams that like you like sleep in the dream and then you like wake up and you like you're like trying to catch the school bus or something or like, oh, it's noon and I missed my exam, you know, one of those like really weird time dreams. And something else I wanted to point out here is like he doesn't feel like he has any power at his workplace. Right, like he's like, oh, I can't stand up to the boss, and you know,
everyone talks behind his back if he's not there, and if he's there, he can't defend himself. Yeah, it's one of those. He's really just like trying to get shit done, but like that's it, right? You're right. He has like no agency,
and they don't respect him at all,
right?
And I mean, I guess that's one of those kind of things where I guess my understanding, Kafka-esque, was kind of, it's always like something that happens that's kind of unexplained, and it's like, oh man, it's zany, you can't explain it. And that's kind of like the idea with metamorphosis, right? It's like, oh, he becomes a bug and you have no idea why. And it's kind of like I don't even know if I agree with that, because, you know, he's a complete bug man in life, you know, kind of thing. It's like he accepts like everything that's thrown at him. He doesn't really, he just does it, you know, right? That's what he has to do. And it's like, you know, that's the kind of thing, he becomes a bug, and he is a bug now. He stays a bug. He doesn't try to not be a bug. He's just a bug.
Yeah, well, and it's weird, because I remember when we read this in high school, one of the explanations was like, maybe this is like a, you know, a different kind of world where people aren't surprised by stuff, like other people turning to bugs. Maybe it's something. And that never really rung true with me, because, you know, in the initial scene, when they first find out he's a bug, everyone's like horrified. You know, if it was an absurdist setting where this stuff randomly happens, I feel like people wouldn't really care. And so I think it's less that, you know, it's this like setting where, oh yeah, this kind of stuff happens. It is exactly like the real world, except he turns into a bug. It's just that he doesn't care that he's turned into a bug, because he's so focused on like his day to day, you know,
problem.
Almost felt like he is partially satisfied too, because now he has like an excuse not to go to work.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, he wants attention. You know, I feel like that's kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, now they have to pay attention to me, because, and that's, you know, he worked hard to get attention from everybody, and that's what he liked, and they stopped paying attention, you know. He kind of talks about that. And then it's like, oh, now he's a bug. And it's like, yeah, now I'm a bug. They have to take care of me. And they do for a little bit. And then, you know, done.
Yeah.
Like, so, now I can just sit here and listen to my sister play violin. Easy.
Yeah.
So one question I have is, like, what kind of bug are all of you imagining when you imagine him? I just, so it doesn't ever give a solid description, right? Besides, like, his legs were tiny relative to the size of his body.
Yeah.
I imagine it having a human face, though.
I have been imagining it with a human face as well.
Oh, God.
Really?
Damn. That's way more horrifying. That's
spooky. Yeah.
I imagine it being a cockroach, but with an anime girl's face.
No, I've been imagining more like a centipede or like a millipede or something because of just all the legs.
Oh, yeah.
Cockroach. I'm a cockroach.
I think cockroach is like a probably roach, closest kinda... for me.
Yeah.
A little roach boy.
Yeah, the like scene where he's in the bed, that one's, I don't know, that one's pretty funny to me, you know, where he's just like, he's on his back and he's like, you know, can't
roll
yeah.
over.
Like, hold on.
Well, and I like how long it takes for him to get up to, like, open the door, kind of. Like, it's yeah. like the classic, like, coming, you know?
Oh, dude, but when they talk the door with his mouth, and they're like, yeah, and then it was like this ooze coming out. I'm like, oh, dude, come on.
Yeah.
That was pretty sick.
So one of the things I thought was poignant was, like, the fact that his manager, like, knows he was late and decides to come to his house.
Yeah.
It was, like, one of those, like, dude, like, you think, like, he like brings up that he's like, oh, you're like always on time. You not being on time means you're in huge trouble now. So one of the things that like really struck me was like, people don't even like respect the work he does. It's kind of like when he does stuff for them, they just come to expect it.
Yeah, it's the total expectation.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like they're not like offering him anything. There's like no authority or anything. Like he literally just like what he does for them, they're like. They just take, right? All they do is consume that.
I think that also
it's kind of like
as well.
Go ahead, Tony.
What was that, Tony?
I think that comes also apparent when it comes to his family as well. His family also does, like they don't really like his family just sort of takes stuff because he earns all this money and he gives it back to the family. And as like he sort of explains how the family sort of gets along is that he does most of the work and they sort of live off of what he makes. And they sort of don't even really like question it at all. Like his dad, like he describes his father just sort of like sitting in a chair and like not really doing much and like
just being fat.
Yeah. And then you can see how like concerned they are when he's not going to work, of like them all rushing to like the door and like constantly like, hey, how come you're not leaving and going to work now? It's almost
yeah.
As, like,
and I mean, that's kind of the thing too. It's not even like his debt, right? It's his parents' debt that he's paying off, right?
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's like thing, it's like they don't, it's completely their, you know, thing that they're supposed to be dealing with and he's doing it, and it's like, yeah, they don't even give a crap, dude.
So where are we at in the story now? What happened next?
Man,
we haven't really been following the story too much.
It's
such a short story.
We got to the part where the manager was coming around and like that's when they finally like see him. And they come out, and he sort of like tries to make it through the door, or whatever. And does he cut himself going through the door, or is it when he comes back into his room?
He gets kicked through the door by his dad.
By his dad.
Yeah.
His dad hits.
He gets like stuck. Yeah. Right.
I thought it was. I don't know if it was weird or not, but it struck me when he was like, "If only my sister had come back, he could have stopped. She could have stopped the manager with her good looks." He's like, oh, if only she was there, she could have like swayed his opinion of me.
Yeah.
Like, you're a fucking bug. Like, what are you?
Oh, so interesting note, and Eric kind of brought this up to me beforehand. The sister actually is like a pretty pivotal character in this, and it should be said that Kafka actually wrote this after he'd like fallen out with a girl who he loved. He like sent her like 30 letters or something like that, and she didn't respond to them. So this is like one of those. I thought this entire book was like a heavy critique of the female will to power. But that's a story for another time.
Well,
we could talk about time? Greed, though, because I think you can read this story as actually a coming of age story for Greed.
Mm-hmm. Grit.
I honestly think there's a duality in how it can be read, which is something I kind of wanted to touch on, is that, like, I feel like the story is all, like, you know, we've talked about how it's about age, right? And how Gregor's basically like a yes man and no one treats him with any respect. And I think, honestly, for me, Kafka-esque means, like, it's a situation that's, like, excessively, like, cruel or morose, but not necessarily hopeless. And I think, like, the thing that's rooted here is that, like, you know, the people in the book think it's hopeless, and so it kind of makes it hopeless, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be, because, you know, you read, like, little vignettes where it's, like, Gregor, you know, even though he's trapped in, like, it seems like he enjoys the shitty lifestyle where he's confined to one room and, like, eating raw scraps, still, like, looks out the window, which to me is, like, longing for, like, something, you know, better. And so, in a way, it's almost like Kafka's, to me, is writing to people who, like, are not just, you know, yes men or normies or wage slaves, but, like, people who are and don't realize it, you know, as if, like, oh, like, you know, if you don't realize that this is you, like, because you read the book and it's like, it's very easy to be like, oh my God, he's a fucking bug, but he won't do anything about it. Like, he needs to, like, kind of grow a spine, you know? But then I feel like that's kind of introspective in a way, because then it causes you to look at, like, your own life, you know, in a less absurdist way and be like, okay, well, you know. And so in a way, I think it was healthy for the family to be rid of Gregor, because he was, like, toxic to the family dynamic. But also, it would have been much healthier for Gregor to leave, not because his family wanted him to, like they said they did at the very end, right before he dies, because, you know, it would have been much better for him. Like, he didn't, you know, it's like he didn't fit in there. And I felt like that was a big theme, too, was, like, just because they're your family doesn't mean you necessarily fit in there. Between family and Gregor is, like, that's why I think you can read it as, you know, the woman agency and as Jamie's, like, you know, a coming out story for Greek.
Yeah. And you mentioned how this is, like, Kafka-esque, and I wanted to add to that, because that was something that I was thinking about while I was reading this, is that, like, Gregor, in a way, throughout this whole story, is blameless, right? Like, and you can really read this, you can get a sense of, like, sort of the confusion and victimization that Gregor feels, right? Like, you know, he objectively did nothing wrong, right? He feels this, like, sense of duty for his family, and that's what he's working out of. Mm-hmm. And you know, he just turns into a bug. He's trying to, like, save this painting or something, but his family, like, misinterprets him and is basically scared by him. So, like on one level, right, you can't blame Gregor for his family's reaction to him, you know, their fear reaction and anger. And on the, you know, on the same level, like, maybe Gregor's sense of duty is honorable. But in reality, it's, like, because he's working out of duty and not out of a sense of love,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, he ends up trapping his family.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think,
well, yeah, I mean, I think that it's, like, he thinks he's doing the right thing, right? He thinks all these actions are what he needs to do, but it's kind of, like, in reality, it's not, like, it's, like, I don't know how really blameless he is, you know, because it's, like, I mean, it's, like, as I was saying, I kind of feel like he was a bug beforehand kind of thing. It's, like, we really don't know if he, like, could have not been a bug, right? It's like he became a bug, so why couldn't he not become a bug anymore, you know?
Kind of thing. So, like, the beta male.
I mean, that's kind of the thing. Right. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, he's doing all the right things, but it's kind of like he needs to look at the bigger picture a little bit, kind of thing. That, you know, maybe sometimes you have to do, you know, the thing that's not quite right, you know, and that's how you, in the long run, do the right thing, I guess, you know?
Yeah. One thing I found really interesting is it never seemed like he tried to communicate to his family that he, like, wasn't just a bug, right?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And to me, that just seems super weak.
Like, he never tries to, like, write something maybe, or
after he was like gives up even it, trying, I guess, because he like he wanted to like help them out, right? Because he like didn't want to show himself at all to his sister because she was scared and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know? I wanted to bring that up. Everything that he tried to do, he was put as the oppressor, right? Every time he tried to do something, he was victimizing someone else. That was something that, like, no matter what he did, they were like, they hated that. They didn't like it. Yeah. He needs to stop doing that. And he starts projecting that onto himself, right? He puts the sheet over himself so they don't have to see him because his very presence is bad. It's like, well, you know, like.
I love that aspect of it too, because you get the feeling that Gregor is feeling a lot of shame at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. It's like, he is feeling shame, and it's like, damn, he's not doing it.
Well, and I kind of felt like, I don't think this is like a 100% allegory, but I could definitely see how it's like could be taken as like a almost like a story about like, you know, drug addiction in a way, because I do the themes we're talking about, where it's like, is Gregor blame, you know, like on one side, like you could argue that Gregor isn't blameless, or on the other, it's like, you know, this circumstance of him being a bug. I feel like that can kind of in a way tie in, because it feeds into the idea of like the family isn't necessarily wrong for reacting to him the way that they do, but they also misunderstand that he's like kind of helpless in this situation, you know? I don't know. That was just something that I picked up on when I was reading through it. I was like, "Huh, this kind of sounds like an allegory about drug addiction a little bit."
Well, I think you're kind of right. You kind of think about like they talk about like drug addiction a bunch, where there's like talks about like cries for help, but the person will never like come out and be like, "Hey, I have a problem." You know, there's kind of that like people, the friends and family are the ones who should reach out, and that. And I think that's what Gregor was looking for the whole time, right? It's like for them to reach out to him, be like, "Are you a bug, or are you still Gregor?" You know, or something like that.
He always just like pokes his head out the door and tries to listen to them, tries to make contact, but doesn't actually do anything. Just kind of like sets himself there and lets them make the move.
And I guess that's kind of everything. Everybody, I guess, is kind of like. I guess because it did happen crazily, they kind of expect it to, like, everyone else is expecting someone else to fix it, kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, it does happen that it's, like, at first they have time to worry, but then it's, like, you know, other things happen, so they kind of have to drop it, they have to kind of stop thinking about it, and it's kind of because of that, it never gets fixed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree, and, like, I think, you know, going off the idea that's like, is anyone going to be like, "Oh, are you a bug?" Like, I think I remember at near the end of the book, you know, it's talking about how he's simultaneously like outraged that his family is so like indifferent to him, yet also like, you know, kind of like guilt stricken that like he's like put them in this miserable situation. And I felt like, you know, that in particular reinforces the drug allegory dynamic kind of thing. Because it's like, he wants people to like, you know, to, I don't know if I'd even say pity him, but just like, notice what he's going through kind of thing. But at the same time,
recognition.
He's like,
he wants attention, you know, he just wants someone to.
Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, it's also the idea that like, you know, he feels like he shouldn't be there because like he's kind of like a stain on the family.
Right.
Yeah, I guess on that, I guess we've kind of gone through his sister taking care of him a bit. I guess there's the part where they take all the furniture out. That was interesting. Yeah, where, you know, he's like, "Oh man, like, at first he's like, yeah, you know, I want to crawl around more. It's fun to be a bug and crawl around." He's like, "Oh, dude, come on."
How he likes being on the ceiling.
Shit, and he doesn't even. The thing with that is he doesn't even think for himself, like, oh, like, they're taking this away, I'm just a bug now. Like, he's, like, perfectly happy until there's someone else who's like, oh, but this is his stuff. It's like admitting he's not human anymore.
Yeah, right. He doesn't even think about it. It's, he, does he even have his own thoughts, you know?
Like, it's only when someone else suggests it that he considers it.
I guess also, I guess kind of on that is, I think at this point in the story, he had referred to his sister the whole time as his sister, and now he starts calling her Greet now.
Really? I hadn't picked up on that.
I had not thought about that, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because now he's like, oh, she's my enemy kind of thing, you know?
Also, in this scene, so the one thing in his apartment that he tried to protect was... That was his picture, right? Was that the same picture that they referenced in the beginning that was like a woman wearing a boa?
Yeah.
I thought that was funny because it's like you. There's a lot of references made to Greta's sexuality, but I think this is the only reference made to Gregor's.
Well, and it's not even like, it's not even really tangible either. You know, we're not told who she is or what she really even looks like other than the boa part. It's just kind of like
sitting up. Yeah.
Which makes it doubly sad that it's like, I think it really does hammer home the idea that, yeah, he's not thinking for himself because like of all the things his belongings to keep, he's like that. But that's only because that's like the only thing left in the room when his mom's like, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't like take this stuff out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also like they're not associating his stuff with him anymore, and they're also like, oh, well, he's now a bug, so it's not him. So it's almost like a disconnect.
The mom still kind of does, right? I mean, that's kind of the dichotomy. It's like, is he a bug or is he a person? The mom's like, well, maybe he's still a person, and then you know, Gregor's like, oh shit, yeah, I'm like still a person, right? Because his entire life has become so small. It's like he's kind of starting to forget.
On the whole subject of like, you know, is he a bug, is he a person, like I think one of the reasons that I had said earlier that I imagined him with a human face is that from the very first instant anyone sees him, they immediately know it's Gregor. Like I don't actually think that Franz Kafka intended for him to be a half human half bug monster.
But how would they know?
Interesting to me that everyone's like, oh my god, that's Gregor, instead of just like, why the fuck is there a giant bug in my son's room?
Maybe he always looked bug like before he became a bug. Like, you know those people who kind of look like animals? Like
there's always that one who make that their joke.
If he was to turn into a bug, it would be a bug, or turn into an animal, it would be a bug.
It's like, yep, I saw it coming. Mile away, bug guy.
That dude right there, fish man.
But does anyone remember the argument that the sister gives for why they should move the furniture?
She says he needs more room to move around, right?
Well, first he keeps moving that chair by the window so that he can like look out the window, and then so she's like ends up not moving it back because she like assumes it's where he wants it, and then like I think she made the argument that, well, he doesn't need the dresser anymore or the table because he's a bug now. And I thought that was the whole argument that she was trying to make. And the mom kept going, no. Like, he'll get better. Like, the situation will improve. He'll still need it. She's like, no.
I think it was kind of a, we need to accept,
we need to accept.
He's a bug now.
Yeah, it sounded like his mom's reaction was denial, but his sister seemed... His sister, I think you can analyze this as like if the story is a coming of age story for Greta, then like she's trying to find her role in the family, the society or whatever. And like being the caregiver for Gregor is a role for her.
That she then rejects at the end.
Right, which I was gonna say. Right. It's like,
not job.
Isn't it the dad also says something like your mom's not allowed to go in there, only you take care of it.
I think that's also something. It's kind of like the dad probably should have stepped in and taken care of this realistically, right? But he doesn't really do anything.
Well, I also dad think, doesn't do I don't think he has any interaction with Gregor besides like when he hurts him.
Yeah. Right. Besides when he like throws shit at him. Yeah.
I think I got a call from my brother, so I'm gonna have to go pick him up from the hospital. I'll be like 10 minutes. But one last thing I want to say is I think that's actually one of the most like salient points to Jamie's theory that it's a story of like a coming of age for, you know, Greta, is because like the mom isn't allowed, like it's interesting because the mom isn't allowed to go in. And she like pretty much obeys that to a T. Like the time when she sees Gregor and faints isn't because she's in the room, it's because she looks through the door. And so that kind of to me felt a lot like, oh, she's like the old style of woman who like just, you know, follows the orders. But Greta kind of knows that. It's almost in a way, it's like it's shown that that doesn't really work because the man who's supposed to be taking care of all the hard stuff is like completely impotent. Like the dad literally does nothing but like hit Gregor.
Yeah.
He's like, he kind of fills the classic role of like the guy who thinks that he's in charge around the house but isn't really, and is just like kind of using that that perceived role as the head of the household to like be, you know, rampant and just like inflict damages on the other members of the family, because it's literally all he does.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about like the mom and the daughter kind of like whispering about stuff, and then he'd wake up and like not know what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm. And like the reason Gregor got that job was like to get rid of his dad's gambling debt, I think.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
So it's like that's like all he's done for them is debt.
Yeah. Yeah, Gregor is definitely the man of the house, right? And then it's crazy how it changes, right? Is like when his dad actually gets a job, which like ironically, I think he is like a servant, right? Like,
yeah, he's a servant.
Like he has the most authority when he's wearing his servant's uniform,
mm-hmm.
because he has
he's
this
doing
like
something,
role,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, and it's said in the thing that like, you know, Greta's trying to learn. I think it's French, right? She's trying to learn new languages to like further herself. And on one end of the family spectrum, you have Gregor, who's like actively avoiding trying to help the situation. Cause like we said, it's like, is there autonomy? Like, yeah, he's a bug, but like, would there be a way to get out of it? Or even if there wasn't, would there be a way for him to improve his life? He's like actively avoiding it, you know? And then you have,
he's not dealing with whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, regardless of whether there is or isn't, he's not even trying.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the mom and dad who are doing stuff. Like they both get jobs, but they're happy.
They're getting by.
Right, exactly. They're getting by, and their happiness and like standing in life is entirely determined by the people outside. Like they don't enforce their own lifestyle. And I think that's especially true of the dad. And Greta's like the only character in the book who's actually like doing, you know, it's on one end you could say it's selfish. She's doing stuff for herself. But on the other end, she's the only one that like wants, like knows, like
it's
not
like
only wants to be happy, but knows she has to work to be better, right, be happy. She's the only one that tries any kind of self-improvement in the entire book.
Just like,
oh, sorry.
What you were saying, where it's like they're not doing anything to like enforce their own lives. Like they get the like three guys who are renting out a room later.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
They're like such little bitches to these men.
Oh yeah. Man. It's like it like makes me cringe reading it. It's one of those,
you're like,
just like,
they
oh,
just
man.
Let those guys walk all over them. Yeah.
This
so
whole thing
bad.
Reminds me of Sweden. Like this whole thing.
Goddamn
Swedes. It's like ridiculous.
I couldn't figure out what, like, he kept bringing up, like, the maids and stuff, like, the one maid that they had at the house who then, like, was, like,
oh, they're, like, angry fat maid.
Well, yeah, like, the first one just leaves because she doesn't want to deal with fucking whatever's going on. She's just like, I'm done. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. And then another maid shows up, and then she's just in the kitchen. And then, like, halfway through, they're like, oh, yeah, we can't really pay for it anymore, so I guess not. And then, like, the, like, really, like, old, like, hag shows up. It's like tormenting Gregor. He's like, oh, you fucking beetle. Like what the hell is happening here?
Yeah.
I could not understand for like one bit why this lady was showing up just being mean to him. It made me laugh like while I was reading it. Just couldn't.
Yeah, she's
it.
Like, oh, you little like, bug.
Well, yeah.
But she's the only person who tries to interact with Gregor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just bizarre. I couldn't figure out why she was a character. And then halfway through, they like leave, and she like angrily quits. I'm like, after towards the end, I'm like, okay, interesting.
Well, the ending that you just kind of mentioned there, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but yeah, she's basically like, she's like, you know, something happened. They're like, yeah, we don't give a shit. And she was saying she threw out Gregory's body into the trash.
Right.
It's like, oh.
Okay.
Damn,
dude.
But yeah, so they've gotten the jobs.
Then they introduced the three guys that show up.
Yeah, three guys. Oh,
I wanted to bring up the apple just because there's some like esoteric layer that I didn't analyze in the slightest. But you know, like an apple, you know, it's like the gnosis in the garden, right?
Yeah.
Tree of good and evil or whatever. Do you guys think that plays in here at all?
I didn't pick up on that at all when I was reading it.
I wasn't thinking
trying
about
to
it.
Think like how that would play in now.
I couldn't see it at all.
Yeah, I feel like it's I could make a stretch, but it's a stretch. You know, I definitely feel like it's.
If you want to try and make it right now, I'd be interested in hearing
it's
it.
It's like okay. It definitely it feels. Yeah, it's just.
Bullcrap, that would be a forced basically. Seeing.
Yeah,
it would be truth, right? It would just be bullshit.
I don't think the author intended.
Yeah, for sure.
You're talking about when Greta brings in all the food for him to eat, and he like only eats.
Well, that dad throws.
No, I was thinking
throwing
about
the apple
that
gets
apple
lodged in him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, other than Gregor just getting more sick, I don't really think much happens from the apple. You know.
Yeah.
It's not like he has a change in real personality or anything like that. You know, he's just more of a bug.
He's just more giving up on life.
Him getting injured than healing.
It's just kind of deeper sinks into what's already there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it as like a wound that, you know, somebody else inflicts on him. And the fact that it doesn't heal till the very end.
Right.
Is,
does it heal?
It doesn't heal. I mean, like, Max brought up Gregor's death, which is maybe like, you know, something to talk about. Because it almost seems like he's redeemed, you know, in that moment when he dies, right? What do you guys think about that?
Well, so I guess something on that is, I guess, I don't really know if the wound necessarily killed him. Because, like, if you think about it, like, earlier on, he was getting kind of beat around, getting real injured, right? But it's like he naturally healed super quickly.
Yeah.
I think they kind of touch on the fact that it's like, yeah, he's like not eating and crap like that. He's basically self, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that Gregor like kills himself.
It's kind of like starvation or something like that, you know?
I saw him, like his death, him killing himself, basically. Like he accepted his death right in that moment. No attempt to like stay alive.
Yeah, and he also like forgave his family, which I thought was interesting.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, you can interpret it that way. Maybe it's. Let me get the exact quote because it was. It said he was like filled with love or something, and I read that and I kind of struggled to buy it. You know, so. I don't know. Did anybody like buy it? You know, did anybody feel like yes, like in that death there was an act of love?
I guess I would. Well, I mean,
I could see that in a way.
I could get it. The kind of at this point I'm useless kind of idea. You know,
It's maybe an act. I think it's more a statement of what Gregor perceives love to be.
Right. I think
he's saying it's an actual act of love.
I think it's more like
Gregor's idea of doing something out of love for his family is fucking killing himself. Like that's what a piece of shit he is.
Mm-hmm.
I would
not in good headspace.
No.
Yeah, man, this book bums you out, dude. Rough read this week, boys.
At least it's short.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh man, I'm glad I read it a couple weeks ago, I guess. So I was kind of glad, like, I kind of read it like yesterday. So it's like, oh man, I don't know. If I was reading this like all week, it'd be a rough week.
Dude, if I had to read like 500 pages.
Yeah, dude. Oh man, that would be terrible. That'd be terrifying.
So we want to talk about Greta's like violin playing, like especially like when she like performs for the three guys.
Yeah.
And like Gregor gets like more and more angry that they're like not enjoying it as much as he would enjoy it.
And by the way, this is the, if you imagine him having a human face, him like poking it into the living room.
And then the guy like noticing it, like, what the fuck is that?
Well, I like how they're just like pissed off. They're like, you know, they're like, how dare you? It's like, yeah, damn. These guys are serious business.
Their fucking reaction to seeing a bug monster is like, yeah, we're not paying the rent.
Well, I felt like they were reacting to the dad, honestly. Like they were kind of, they were just like, what the fuck? And then the dad got really like self-conscious and was like, he, you know, ushering them to their his room. And I felt like they're like, oh, this guy's so ashamed of it, you know, and that's what they're picking up on.
Yeah.
And then they just fucking conned him.
Yeah, right. They didn't really care. They're just like, what the hell is that, you know?
That is an excuse for
a free
room.
And I guess that's
room.
Kind of the thing, you know? Exactly. It does, the family does treat him like a burden, right? And it's kind of like, I don't know, like, realistically, if you, like, walked in on some family and they're like, yeah, I was so turned into a bug person, you would be like, wow, you're terrible parents, you know?
But it's like, yeah, I think you're right, because it's like, how is, like, Gregor any different from, like, a, you know, like a dog? Obviously, it's ugly as shit, whatever, you know? But,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not that much of a fuck.
I mean, imagine how different the book would be if he were a dog, though. Like, dogs is man's best friend and whatnot. Like, it would change the story completely.
Oh, definitely. I mean,
that'd be sweet.
I'm so sorry.
Like, dragon. Like,
he's just like running around. He's like, oh, my sister won't take me for walkies.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how, like, the mom's so scared, the dad's so ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a book.
Damn.
I wonder if
I guess wait, Jamie, were you getting that quote? That did you want to get that or?
Oh yeah,
the loved one. Yeah, I was able to find it.
It's on page 438 of that online one. It said, the rotten apple in his back and then flame surrounding area. He hardly noticed. He remembered his family with deep feeling and love.
Yeah, and it continues. In my the different translation, it must have been why. But if it was possible, he felt that he must go away even more strongly than his sister. He remained in this state of empty and peaceful rumination until he heard the clock strike 3 a.m. He watched as it slowly began to light everywhere outside the window too. Then, without willing it, his head sank low completely. And his last breath followed weakly from his nostrils.
Hmm. Yeah.
Damn.
Sounds really peaceful, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I were turned into a bug and I had to die, that's what I'd want to die.
With an apple in my back.
Okay, so one of my favorite things, Jamie, when you sent that link of like the online read, was just the little short bio that it gave. It just says, The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka. And it just says, a traveling salesman living with his family wakes up one morning to find he's now a giant insect. His family is none too pleased. It's like...
it's like a nice sitcom.
Right? Yeah.
Like this ending. Time, Rob Schneider is...
The comedy version of this? Hilarious. But... If I were to go, I'd want to go like a rad roach from like Fallout, you know, like attack some like adventurer and then just like, you know,
instantly die.
Get hit by
some guy with a police baton.
Hey, get that bug. And I'm like, meh, meh.
I don't want to hurt it. It's so cool.
Also, side note, the three bearded men were hilarious how they behaved.
Yeah.
Because they could give a less of a shit about the problems of the family, right?
I like the one, two, like his two, like his two, like buddies, just like yeah.
They're rubbing like, their hands together. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess. Filthy so wait, on that, like the beard guys not really caring about the family. there is like, I mean, that's kind of the thing. Like the family is kind of just like, oh, bending over backwards for them, right? Like serving them dinner and stuff like right. that. And it's kind of like, you know, they start to expect that too. And it's kind of like, you know, as Jamie was saying, they like picked up on how ashamed the father was about Gregor. So they like, they took advantage of that, you know? They're like, oh, we're not going to pay rent. Like, they seem to think this is a big deal. So like, hell yeah, you know?
Yeah.
That violin scene too, I think there's a couple points I want to mention about it where like the three men got like really close to the sister and then
like reading their page notes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they got distracted by Gregor, right? And the sister's like, oh, why aren't you paying attention to me anymore?
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of comes into this like coming of age thing again where like she's trying to like prove herself to the world, you know.
Gregor comes in and ruins it. What a piece of shit.
Holding people back. That's all he does.
Fucking bug, dude. We don't need him.
Yeah, like sorry, this is jumping back a long time. But back on like the subject
of
like, how I imagine him to look. Part of it is just like they talk a lot about how much trouble he has just like turning around.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. Times, that's so. Fair.
And like.
And he can't walk backwards at all.
He can't walk backwards.
Well, at first, right? He figures it out, I thought.
I know at one point, at least in the translation I read, he says, like, oh. Like, my legs barely work, but, like, they barely even worked before because I never worked out. Like, even when I was a human, my legs sucked.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, whatever kind of bug he is, he's just such, like, he's not even, like a cockroach survives anything. Like, he's not even a cockroach. Like, just, like, an apple lodged, like, it gets, like, stuck in his back, and I'm, like... That wouldn't happen if he had, like, a hard shell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... And, I mean, he gets, like, cut with some glass at one point, and then, like, acid is poured on him. It's like, damn.
It's to me... Like, I know... I read, like, a short thing, like, talking about the book, where it's, like, when it originally came out, like, Kafka had said, like, make sure no one actually shows a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he like did not want a picture of what the bug looked like on the cover. So I think he's just meant to be like some kind of like freakish like blob bug monster.
I like to imagine when he got the stuck in his back, he's like a roach with wings, and he like, you know, lifted his wings up and it got stuck in like, the soft part underneath.
Mm-hmm. He was still pretty clearly skin and shell day, so
I don't know. To me, he sounds like a xenomorph, and that made the whole story cool.
Corrosive. I like to imagine him as like Jesus with angel wings.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, he's actually like the Terminator.
Whoa. So I just thought about this. We talk about how like. He didn't want to, try to communicate with people. And I think he kind of talks about that with only one character. And that's actually the dad, where he's like, he knows how to communicate to his dad that he's, like, going back to his room, right? He's like, I don't want to, like, I'd like to go up to him and, like point him in a direction or something like that. But, like, he's like... All I can think of is like I just want to make sure he's not angry because he gets in these like moods where you like won't listen to anything. So I'll just like try to turn around as much as possible. And the dad can kind of like you kind of get the notion that like through the body language, all that the dad's like picking up on that.
Yeah.
But at the same, and I think that's why like well later he's like that's not Gregor, right? It's like we've tried to communicate. He's like a person. And sister's like, oh yeah, no, he's a bug. Don't worry about it. And it's like so the dad's kind of like picking up. He's like. There's like you can kind of communicate with him, but the dad's a fucking idiot. He's a dumb boomer, so it's like, you know.
I think it's important to note the dad isn't actually a boomer.
Yeah, I mean, a boomer. He's like from the 1850s. You know?
I do like, he did mention that, like, the only, like, real, like, communication he had with his father was, like, when they'd walk back from, like, church. And, like, he'd, like, try to walk between him and his mom. Do you remember them mentioning that?
I don't remember this. I don't remember that.
Of church.
It was, like, service or something. Because they're Jewish, I believe.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. I don't remember
anything. He was definitely a bug before he went, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, just tell us about it, like, if you remember reading it.
No, I remember, basically, like, he was talking about how the only real, like, contact he had, like that he can remember with his dad was, like, the long walks outside, and that he couldn't do that anymore. And I think that's why he sort of also, like, the ending of the book is, like, how, like, the mom and the dad and his
they all go for sister, a walk.
They all go for a walk, and, like, he mentions it before.
I found the quote.
Yeah. You want to go ahead and...
So he's talking about, like, him being tired. So the same tired man as used to be laying there entombed in his bed when Gregor came back from his business trips, who would receive him sitting in his armchair in his nightgown when he came back in the evenings, who was hardly even able to stand up, but as a sign of his pleasure, he would raise his arms, and who on a couple of times a year, they went for a walk together on a Sunday or a public holiday, wrapped up tightly in the overcoat between Gregor and his mother, would always labor his way forward a little more slowly than them, who were already walking slowly for his sake. Yeah. And then who would place his stick down carefully, and if he wanted to say something, would above the high, stiff collar of his coat, his double chin merged. Damn, these run-on senses are insane. Anyway, it just continues. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. He goes
on these walks, but, like, you can tell that, like, his dad is always tired. But then, like, towards the end of the book, like, when he goes out, like, with his daughter and his wife, he's, like, energetic and happy to be out. It's an interesting of him, like, quick changing from how Gregor was such a toll on everyone's lives and made everyone miserable.
And it refers to him as Mr. Samsa. It changed how it referred to him. And right. it kept on saying, like, Mr. Samsa and the women.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess that's like him getting more distant from his family kind of idea, maybe.
Oh, I saw it as like him becoming the man of the house, you know? Like earlier in the book, you know, Gregor is like the breadwinner and the dad, you know, like Gregor's the man of the house basically, right? And so I feel like that's part of the reason his dad is so like powerless, you know, like those memes Max has been posting are basically his dad's life, except like sitting in a armchair instead of on the computer. You know, just like no role, nothing to do.
Yeah, and well, what we get out of it, and I thought it was poignant that his dad kind of became a bug himself after he failed the business, right? He stopped working. Well, so this was something I was like, oh, that's kind of fucked up. The dad's like helpless and can barely get out of his chair and won't do anything, but then he can like work fine. And it's also, we find out that like they had some money stored away that Gregor was never told about.
Yeah.
That was fucked.
It's like, what the fuck are they doing to Gregor? You know, like, and he's like, oh, you know, like, maybe I can actually work. It's like, so you're just, like, making your son a wage slave so you didn't have to work? Yeah.
Like, it's not even just, like, maybe I can work. Like, at the end, I think it's, like, they're all like, oh, we realized that we have jobs that we really enjoy and we're really happy with our lives.
Yeah. It's like, learned helplessness. Yeah, that they were just so lazy.
Yeah.
Well, so I feel like the dad's he became helpless. Gregor started working because the dad couldn't work. That was kind of my impression.
Yeah, and that's like he had the debts he had to pay, which he could have helped pay more of. You know, I do kind of see the dad as more of a villain almost in this. You know, where it's like, well, like it's not Gregor's fault that he did that. It's Gregor did that because of his dad, you know.
It's something.
And Gregor. Yeah, go ahead.
I imagine it like his dad was unable to work due to like an injury, and like never was it like never went back even after
never
he
tried.
Was fine.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm curious what you guys would think. Like, what would you do if you're in the father's shoes, right? Like, you're supposed to be like the man of the house, but you're at a point in your life where like your children disrespect you, they think you're weak, you know, would you be motivated to like really push yourself to be better, or would you just like become helpless?
Oh man, you gotta push yourself to be better. But I mean, like, to allow yourself to get into that situation, you're clearly not the type of person to push yourself to be better.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. At what point as an old man do you sit back and go, like, all right, because I don't know how old this guy's, I don't know how old his dad is.
Like 60.
Yeah, like, I don't know at what point. Oh, is he 60? I don't know.
No, I'm wondering if they mentioned it.
I don't like, think they say
how
an
old
age.
Do you, I mean, obviously, if it's 60, you still got a little bit left. But I don't know how long until you're just allowed to be an old man.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the problem is it's kind of like he is an old man, I guess. But it's like he has these things, these problems that he never took care of. It's kind of like one of those things where it's like he could be an old man if he didn't have the debts he had to pay off, you know?
Right. He wouldn't have had to work, but he still has the debts. But instead of taking care of the debts himself, he put it onto his kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you guys want to finish up talking about the ending? Or I feel like we've kind of already covered it a little bit.
Yeah, so the violin scene happens, and then the bug comes out, and there's a big hubbubaloo. Mm-hmm. And eventually he's like, oh, man, get out. And then it's the family, and they're like, we got to do something about Gregor. And the sister's like, well, let's just kill him. Or just let him die or something like that. And they're like, the mom's like, hold, yeah, like, just... so the mom's like debilitated. She can't really do anything. She goes into like a coffin fit. She's like,
ah. Yeah, she's like helpless kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the dad's like, yeah, we got to do something. He's like, I mean, it's like, can we do that? And then I kind of brought it up earlier. It's like, he's like, there's nothing in there, right? It's just a bug. And the daughter adamantly declares, yes, he's just a bug. Don't worry about it.
And I think Gregor hearing that, I think that's really the nail in the coffin, that he sort of accepts that he's like a bug and that he's not their brother or son anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think at that point, because you see through the whole story, even though he's a bug, he still has this like such a high like feeling towards his sister of like, oh, she's got to get into art school with the money that I save for. Like he cares about his sister so much, and like hearing that from her, I think just like destroys him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, he definitely cares about his sister the most, which I think they play up with the whole, like, you know, him saving up for her, like, violin thing or whatever.
She wants to, like, go to music school or something.
Yeah.
But then the scene where she's playing the violin kind of also puts a little bit of a perverted spin on that motivation, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's kind
definitely
of,
has weird things for his sister.
He's definitely, I think, like, you know, Gregor's a bit of a romantic, where he's kind of like, yeah, dude, you kind of have to think of the reality of the situation right here, you know.
Well, I think that, yeah, I think you're completely right, Jamie. Where it's like, well, she's actually not very good at the violin. In fact, Gregor is probably the only one who actually cares about her violin. I don't think she even really cares. That's what
I don't know. I don't know if it was just like the setup of how she was doing this recital, but it reminded me so much of like American Idol, like when the people go like, "No, no, my parents, they told me I can sing," and then like the three judges are sitting there like, "No, you can't sing. Sorry."
One of the
like,
bearded men is Simon.
Right? Yeah. That's just like,
dude, that's how the open mic comedy kind of felt, where it's like, damn, these people like legitimately think they're funny, and you're like, damn, this is just not funny at all, man.
Did it explicitly say she was bad at the violin, or that the bearded man just didn't care?
No, they didn't appreciate. Like, I was under the impression that she wasn't bad. Like, she just
It's very much like if she was going to school for it too. So it's kind of like, yeah, she could have gotten better. You know, it's very much.
And it's Gregor's fault that she didn't. She had to go work.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess that's kind of, it is kind of something, you see Gregor's in a shitty situation that's kind of not his fault kind of thing because of his parents and stuff like that. Right. And even though he is, he's still sacrificing so that she can do stuff, you know, kind of thing. He's still going out of his way
even
for her.
It's not his choice of what he's doing. He's just trying to help out the family, but he still wants to use his power to, it's almost
help
like
her
a,
out kind
yeah,
of
help
thing.
Her out, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like you see she's in the same situation, and it doesn't flip flop, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. What do you mean by that, Eric? It doesn't flip flop.
Well, so then, you know, she's in a situation where she's in a shitty situation now. That's not her fault, right? Gregor's
fair enough, right?
And it's like now she has to get by. Gregor had to just get by too. He's getting by, and it's like he's still going out of his way for the sister, but she's kind of just doing the bare minimum for Gregor, kind of thing.
Ooh, also for the violin recitals, it plays into the coming of age story thing, where it's like, is playing the violin a practical application for her? Like, is her talent that good to sort of start thinking about going to a music school? Where it's almost like she comes to realization that, like, oh, well, maybe I should start not focusing on music. Because doesn't she get the job after that? Or
yeah, I was gonna bring this up. This whole thing is just insane when I'm thinking about it. Because I really think the violin represents her like feminine spirit, and then she has to discard that to work like a clerk job.
Kind of become more practical, yeah.
Right, become like a wage slave. And it's like, oh.
Guys, art is dead. We're done.
Well, this whole thing, it's written, like, at the same time Oswald Spengler wrote The Clan of the West, and right before World War One. And it's like, I don't know what the fuck was going on in Germany, but I don't think it was good.
Right. Well, do we want to talk about Franz Kafka for a little bit?
I just had one more point to make on the violin playing, which is I also saw it as like an element of girlishness on her part, where like it's this like romantic dream that Gregor has for her, and and it just didn't ever seem all that realistic, right? And then like when she's giving the performance, like she's just doing it for like attention. I don't know, it just seemed sort of childish, right? And then like, you know, Gregor is getting some kind of, I'm not sure if it was my translation, but it said he got like nourishment from it, and he was like edging closer and closer to the music to get more. It was funny, right? And at the very end, remember, right? Like once she gives up this fantasy, like, and kind of grounds herself in reality, you know, gets this job, like at that point, her parents notice that she's like, become a woman, you know, she looks like voluptuous, you know, she's ready to like get out into the actual world.
Yeah, and on like getting out into the actual world, like I think when Gregor dies, that's the first time the story leaves the house.
Yeah.
It's like now they're all free to actually go do something. Like, it says, like, they haven't, like, gone out as a family at all. And the story definitely hasn't left the house.
Yeah.
I thought the juxtaposition between kind of the misery of Gregor and his kind of mental anguish, everything. And then when he dies, it's just, like, super happy, don't worry about anything, good times feeling. I thought the juxtaposition was kind of intentionally like overly sweet, you know, to kind of like underline the kind of like, I saw it as like a critique, right? It's like, now we're going to go to like what the family's thinking about. It's like, oh, happy times. We don't have to worry about anything. No responsibilities, no accountability.
Well, it just hammers on how little they give a shit about Gregor.
Yeah.
That's what makes it Kafka-esque, I think, is that, like, it's Kafka-esque meme. It's, like, it's completely hopeless for him, and he dies, like, sad and alone. They're, like, they look at him, and, like, the closest thing to, like, an emotion is the sister is, like, wow, he got really emaciated. And then they move on, and they completely forget about him. They're actually better for completely forgetting about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the depressing part, but unlike the kind of vibe I got from H.P. Lovecraft, where it's like, you know, the average person is nothing and will never be anything, it was almost like a cautionary tale in a way to me, I felt like. Because like reading it, I was kind of like, damn, I need to be more assertive in my own life, you know?
Yeah, I heard that. I read this, I was like, whoa, no.
that's why I think there is like a bit of hope in it. That it's not like a completely dark and hopeless work, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I'm playing on the, like, it's like, yeah, it wasn't completely hopeless, you know? It's like he had a chance to take action and didn't, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, it's like the reader does, you know? Like, at the end of the day, like, it's not, like, a real story. And I feel like, in a way, he almost kind of wants to, like, push that message across, which is why Gregor is an insect instead of, like, just a really depressed, lonely man who locks himself away in his room, you know?
This isn't Dostoevsky, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have, like, what, 4,000 pages forward or something?
Yeah, do you think the sister was justified to you know, get rid of this emotional baggage that is Gregor?
I mean, duty. She took upon the mantle of taking care of Gregor because no one else in the family would. And then she just kind of dropped that when it presented a burden on her outside of her, like, little pet game.
Reminds me of the troop that was supporting Beowulf.
Damn, that makes it especially poignant that just like then, I disagree with Matt.
No, it's one of those, it makes sense as a move, but I don't think it was the right move kind of thing.
Yeah. Pragmatically, right, it makes perfect sense. And I think that's kind of what we see. People only care about money. They only care about what can serve them. And if that's what you're going for, then yeah, sure, it's the right move. But at the same time, why is Gregor doing what he's doing, right? It's like, mm-hmm. It's not for him.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with kind of where you see, like, the burden of caregiving, you know, and like, I don't know, kind of tying it back into, like, the drug addict analogy, right? It's kind of like Gregor's at a point where, you know, we as the people reading from his viewpoint, like, empathize with him because, you know, he can't, like, reach them socially, and he's, like, all alone. But from their point of view, it's kind of like he's doing nothing to change himself. He starts, you know, by the end, like, when he tries to, like, attack the maid, but she fends him off, it's like he's almost, like, becoming violent in a way because he has no way to express his emotion. And like, I guess off the drug addict thing, it's like, you know, if you have a family member who's, like, a hopeless drug addict, on one hand, like, taking care of them is a noble thing, but I don't know if they're completely content on not finding help, because, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like part of one of the motifs is, like, only you can find help, because Gregor's desperately seeking help in anyone else but isn't looking in, like, introspectively to find ways to better his life. And I think that's kind of his downfall. And it's like, if you have someone like that who refuses to help themselves, then in a way I feel like cutting yourself loose is, like, if you have to save yourself from all the emotional stress, you know, because the family says they're going to take care of him and kind of weather it, but the mom and dad are clearly just completely miserable, but they don't have enough of, like, self-autonomy to realize that and be like, as much as horrible as it is, like, I need to remove myself from the situation, you know?
Yeah, and I also see, like, Gregor's perceptions of his family as things that kind of trap them, right? Like, Gregor sees his dad as weak, he sees his sister as this, like, innocent little girl, and then it isn't until he dies that, or it isn't until, you know, at least that he's locked away, that they're able to, like, get past these cages for themselves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess if you think about it, I mean, honestly, all the characters are kind of the same, right? They kind of just, none of them really take action, you know? It's kind of, they all just kind of get by in whatever situation they're in, no matter what kind of thing.
Right, they decide that Gregor must die, and they just let him die, right?
Yeah, he just, yeah. Kinda, like, he's already dead by the time they decide he should die, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's like, when does Gregor actually die?
Like, the next day or something. That's kind of what I figured, but, like,
well, no, I mean, like, yeah, literally he dies the next day, but, like, when is Gregor dead, you know? Because when he's just the, like, when we were talking about how, like, he doesn't even realize he needs these human comforts until his own mom is like, oh wait, he probably needs these, and then he's like, oh yeah, I do. It's like, when is he like, the sister, it sounds really cruel to us because we know Gregor's still in there. But to them, it's like, when is Gregor actually just a bug?
Yeah. You know? I think he dies when the moment his sister decides to, like, kill him. The moment that scene where, like, she, like, springs forward, like, that's the first time anybody in this book takes action. Is when she, like,
makes a solid decision.
Mm-hmm. She locks him in the room and she says, finally.
Damn. So do you guys want to talk about the author real quick?
I'd be down.
Anybody read about the Franz Kafka?
No, not really.
I mean, I don't know anything about him.
So you could say that this guy did not have a very good relationship with his father, like, at all.
Oh, like, really?
Oh, like,
surprising.
It's real bad. Apparently, like, there's one instance where his sisters recall their father locking him out on a balcony because he asked for water at night, and his dad was so upset that he didn't get it himself that he locked him out on a balcony, like, in the cold, like, all night.
Damn.
And then, yeah, and then there was one point where he was an adult and he sent a letter to his mom that she was supposed to give it to her father, and it was basically him just being like, the way you raised me was, like, horrible, and you gave me, like, bad mental problems. And his mom was just like, yeah, I'm not reading this to him. Yeah, God, but apparently, like, it, well, his dad was, like, this really big businessman and, like, really, like, wanted his son to be, like, this big businessman too. So, like, he ended up getting, like, he studied law and got a doctor of law, and then, like, paid, and then he, like, worked for, like, as, like, a law clerk for a while, and then, like, at that point he was just like, yeah, this is just, I don't want to do it anymore, and so he became a writer. And then his dad was just like, all right, I'm not talking to you ever again. But apparently, like, his relationship with his dad is awful.
I believe you can definitely see that in the, like, the, yeah, like, probably the most despicable character, I think, yeah, in my mind.
He doesn't hold his dad,
yeah, like, he doesn't really have any good qualities.
Who else here hates their dad?
Damn it, Dad.
And then also, like, his relationship with women is also, like, really fucking weird. Like, he, like, over, like, maybe the span of 13 years, he goes through 3 wives.
Oh, classic Elon Musk.
Yeah, and so, like, apparently he also, like, he also was, like, super, like sexual. Like, he was, like, really sexually frustrated, like, all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Like, apparently, like, he had a lot of, like, he had a big problem with, like, prostitutes, that sort of thing.
It's interesting, yeah, though, because that doesn't, like, work as much as you would think.
Much as
you think it's, like, a one-night shut-in.
No, I've got him figured out.
But, yeah, like, but he had, like, 3 sisters. But they were all born, like, he was the oldest, and he had 2 younger brothers, but they died when they, and then after he died, 10 years later was the Holocaust, and since they're a Jewish family living in the Czech Republic, they all died in concentration camps. Like
that, damn.
Well, the funny thing is, his dad was never sent to a concentration camp. He died 10 years before that.
God damn it.
Wait, so Kafka, was he killed in a concentration camp?
No, Kafka died, he died to tuberculosis.
Classic writer, way to go. And
he died 20 years before the Nazi Germany happened. So he died June 3rd, 1942.
No, Eric's right, though. How many, there's a thing about, like, how many writers
really
died. Hang on,
I know.
Maybe I should get tuberculosis, then I can be a good writer.
I know Poe died of that, right?
From all of
them, Poe died of, like, a weird fit. Like, he just showed up.
I think all his wives and stuff died of tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Poe died, like, on the streets of
Baltimore. In a graveyard. Yeah.
I thought he just, like, Baltimore.
Crazy shit.
No, he died in a gutter.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Classic.
All right. So here, writers who have died of tuberculosis: Ralph Waldo Emerson, Elizabeth Browning, Molière, Voltaire. I thought, hang on. I think it has artists on here too.
So if you're a writer and you get tuberculosis, go to the hospital.
Tuberculosis in the time period than it does about writers.
No, I think that's just like what you want us to do, man.
I think a lot of it they apparently is because a lot of these writers, like a very common thing during the 1700s, 1800s was like for reflection, like writers would kind of like lock themselves away, and like for some people, like they'd go out into the outdoors, like that one guy who's like a hermit for like 2 years and then wrote.
Hey, Max, you're not gonna believe
this. Is that Emerson?
I think Emerson, didn't he live like on Walden Pond or whatever?
Yeah. I always get Emerson and Thoreau mixed up because they're like buds.
Weren't they?
Oh, no, that was
they
Thoreau,
have like that
right?
hippie commune or something like that, basically.
Yeah, that was like Walden Pond or whatever.
Yeah, they all they're basically like OG hippies.
But it was one of those things where it was like apparently I never looked at this myself, but I was reading about it in one of my history classes, and like he claimed to be like this big, like, you know, nature revivalist kind of guy. Like, oh, people need to go back out to the wild. Like Walden Pond, like. It's kind of like that guy who like says he's an avid camper, but goes with like the camper that has like a shower in it and like
yeah, it goes in a log cabin to go camping.
Right, that's apparently what Walden, because you know you read it and you're like, damn, he like became a hermit at Walden Pond. But apparently it was kind of like this pretty idyllic little place where like he wasn't actually out in the wilderness like he says he was.
Yeah, he had like a little cottage. It seemed pretty sweet.
Yeah. Oh, Fyodor Dostoevsky died of tuberculosis. So did Paul Gauguin, D.H. Lawrence, Emily Bronte, Chopin. Yeah.
He's a genius, wow. I thought.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah, but he wrote music. Come on.
Oh, true. Yeah, checkmate.
Right, dude.
Thanks for the save.
Sweaty man, not JPEG.
Also, his name's pronounced weird. It's like Chopin or something.
Yeah, I just avoid pronouncing it ever.
Chopin.
His name's Chaplin.
So Kafka also wrote a 103-page letter to his father.
That's it. There it is.
And he wrote a book called The Truth About Sancho Panza.
Oh!
We gotta read that,
boy. I have to read that one, guys.
Yeah. Guys, this is starting to get spooky.
Oh, he hates Sancho Panza. I brought up this quote.
Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, he's like, Sancho Panza is like the villain.
Yeah.
Don Quixote.
And like the scum of the world, too, right? Like, representing. Yeah. No, I remember that quote when you were reading it. That was, because, yeah, that was a solid quote.
That's big.
Because I kept on going, Sancho's funny.
Yeah. God, was that just you, me, and Eric at the end of that then?
Yeah.
That was.
Really like finished it.
Those quotes about Don Quixote at the end of that copy you had, Max, were so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We should, I'll have to read that one when I'm at, like, work or something. See if I get any tidbits.
But there's, I like there's that's called The Truth About Sancho Panza.
I like how it's like a YouTube it's a video.
Yeah. Article.
Top 10 facts you didn't know about Sancho
Panza. I imagine like yellow journalism is like, oh, Sancho Panza, is he actually an asshole? You
know, like, Sancho is funny.
Sancho Panza, is he actually
that cat
all right?
Max says, so
but a lot of like Kafka's like writing is like you can really tell he's just like, oh, nobody likes me, like I'm a fucking loser, because like he wrote a book called The Trial, which is basically just about this guy who gets arrested and he did nothing wrong, but he doesn't ask throughout like the entirety of 153 pages what he did or what crime he committed. He just goes along with it because he's being arrested and he feels like he should be arrested.
Yep.
It's just I'm weak and I deserve this. It's like, oh man. It's like all of his writing is very sort of like Creep by Motorhead.
Well, no, so kind of on that, do you think he's like aware of it? Because that was kind of, I thought, like, I felt like Metamorphosis was a critique of that. You know, it's like one of those, we do this to ourselves and we don't even realize it kind of deal. Not like a, like, this is how I feel. Let me get this out of my head. You know?
Look at what society's doing to us.
Yeah.
I definitely think it is, because, and I think that's why it's written, part of the reason it's written from Gregor's perspective is because, like, you know, he can critique himself, you know, like, he can critique himself better than anyone else. Kind of.
Was Gregor a Christ figure?
I think I read something where it was, like, his sister had to convince him to even, like, show the story to people. Like, it was, like, he was too much of a weenie to even, like, show, like, Metamorphosis to people. And it's, like, dude, like, come on, it's good, you know?
Well, I don't know if that reflected you, man. If you, that, like, you shared that with the class, they'd be like, whoa.
Oversharing. Classic oversharing.
Yeah
but it's, like, he wrote that letter to his dad. It's, like, obviously he doesn't have a problem with that.
I just like the fact that he gave it to his mom to give to her dad, and the mom took, like, two looks at it, and she just goes, I'm not showing this to you.
It's like a whole, like, manila folder.
So, was
this
he
is a hardcover, man? I'm not giving this.
Was he famous? But, like, did his dad know he was, like, a famous writer?
No, I think it's like classic. He died
after he died. Yeah.
I like to think he's famous, and then he's like, "I'm a famous writer, Dad." He's like, "Still queer." He's like,
The truth about Sancho Panza was released 7 years after his death.
Oh.
You think he just thought Sancho was, like, his dad? And he's like, you did.
Damn.
A lot of his stuff went like, I know there was a couple novels that he was writing that went unfinished. They just didn't end because he died. So, like, there was, like, 3 or 4 books that he was, like, in the middle of.
Man, writing. Self-centered writers.
Yeah, way to go. Come on, at least finish your shit so we can read it.
Yeah.
Fucking loser.
Classic father of mine, looking ass. Fucking lame.
But yeah.
Allegedly, the truth of Sancho Panza is a parable. I'm just reading the Wikipedia description of it. The narrator theorizes that Panza was a well of tales, lore, and wisdom, as well as having a particular demon to exorcise. While using up these witticisms, Panza succeeded in ridding himself of stories and tales on his mind, fed them to Don Quixote, and thus was able to live a life full without burden. A full life without burden. Yeah, but I mean, based on that quote we read,
yeah,
I feel like there's a very critical, you know, reflection.
Well, maybe he's getting rid of his like, the living a full life without burdens is because he's just heaping his burdens onto Don Quixote.
That's kind of what I was thinking, right? So, I mean, this Wikipedia article was very matter of fact. Well, they use positive words like well of tales, lore, and wisdom, where it's like, oh, okay, so there's, like, a fun thing where you're like, you know, like, Don Quixote's, like, saving him. Don Quixote's, like, a Christ figure. It's like, I don't know, like, based on that quote I read, like,
one day Gregor wakes up and finds he's turned into a frog.
Turned into Sancho Panza.
Oh no. He wakes up and he finds that he is the squire of the great knight, Don Quixote.
But in this version, his family just accepts him, like, oh, you're way better than Gregor.
He's fine.
God damn it.
I want to read this story, or at least get, like, the gist of it.
Oh, man. What would that be like, a story where he, like, wakes up and he's, like, someone else, and then his entire family's, like, so happy, and they're like, wow, Gregor, you used to be such a piece of shit.
I mean, I imagine that's how it would go if Gregor turned into a puppy. All right, do you have any final thoughts on this book?
On Metamorphosis. By Franz Kafka.
Yeah, thank you.
It was all right.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed
six
it.
Out of 10. Oh, go ahead.
I don't have too solid of thoughts right now, so go ahead yourself. I'm trying to solidify them in my mind right now.
I don't know if I'd recommend. I mean, I'd maybe. I mean, I understand why they. Actually, I don't even know why they teach it in schools.
Yeah, it's all right. Like, I don't have anything bad to say about it, but it hasn't resonated with me like some of the other readings we've done.
I actually liked it. Beowulf, but I definitely think it was pretty deep. I like being able to take another pass at it. Because honestly, high school, I feel like.
Everything you read in high school is sort of like, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, that. I liked it this go round, and I felt like I could sort of see it, but I don't remember getting anything out of it in high school. No.
I think that, like, a lot of the stuff you read in high school, you kind of, like, I think it's worth rereading, because I feel like I get a lot more out of it now, honestly.
Yeah. One thing that's
interesting. I'm just like, I was a dumbass when I was in high school, and then two, the way they teach things is so stupid.
Yeah.
I never actually read this in high school. This was my first time reading it, so I'm not sure how that's playing into it.
But it definitely resonated with me, because I know I was pretty bummed out after reading it and pissed off at the same time.
Classic Gregor feel.
Yeah.
Well, it's like one of those. I do see a lot of connections between modern society in this book. I in a way, I find it very prophetic to a lot of the stuff that's going on societally. You can take that one of two ways. You can see it as a redemption story, like a coming of age thing, or as I see it, it's very much like a twisted fate, you know. But regardless, I thought this was pretty powerful. I thought there was some truth in this one. And I think he did a solid critique of basically all the characters on the stage, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it. I felt it was very spooky at some points. It made me bummed as well, Max. Like there, especially this whole idea of like people react to him and he doesn't understand why, you know, like his mom passes out and, you know, all these bad things happen as a result of him, but aren't like really his fault, but somehow he's still like, you know, responsible for it. So the confusing nature of that was, you know, pretty Kafka-esque, as one might say. And
nice. God damn it.
I thought the hardest parts of the book for me were like the little vignettes of like, I mentioned before, like when he's staring out the window, like that hit me hard, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because, you know, where it's like, oh, I can't tell anyone that, like, you know, I'm still here. Or, like that very much played into like the message that story was trying to tell, I think, to me, or like the message is plural depending on how you interpreted it. But I thought like that part was like rough, because it's like as kind of broken as he is and like how unaware he is of his own plight, or like his unwillingness to do anything, he's like really, really deep down there are still like shards of him like in there, you know, that like come out like what, like when he looks out the window, it's like, ooh, that's rough.
I think it's important because you're kind of bringing that up, and I'm remembering, because that does show his humanity. Look out the window, and when his mom and his sister are gonna see him staring at the window, right? I thought that was like a thing, and then like she like hurries him away. Is that no? Never mind. Does anyone ever see him staring out the window? I guess
that was, I don't think so.
Well, I think his sister, has an idea, because she puts the,
there
she
might
puts
be
the
one.
There.
She might walk in on him accidentally.
Yeah, I think she walks in on him
like startled.
Yeah, she does do that. She just she sees it and then instantly leaves and then doesn't come back for half a day.
And then sets the chair up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. At the beginning of the book, it does like, I think there definitely is an interesting story to be told from the sister's interactions with Gregor. Where at the beginning, it's like, I don't know if she ever thinks that he's like in there, but like she wants to believe, and so I feel like setting up the chair is like a large part of that, like trying to get the human part of him coked out. But also, then as time goes on, she decides that it's, you know, even if he is in there, it's like, oh.
Especially with our first introduction of her, is her crying that he won't come out.
Yeah,
like it, like how like because she's sitting there like crying because like oh you're making the parents upset, and then all of a sudden she's like, because like at that point I figured her to be like a 7-year-old. Like, oh my god, who's this child crying through the wall?
Yeah, I did not think that she was like a woman.
Yeah, and like you see her like progress.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It was interesting. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the read. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I liked it.